Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
An hour of mind power. Well, we've got a story that's coming up for you, animal lovers especially. A story that I think will touch your heart and your mind in a very special way. We're going to be talking about Deborah Potter's experiences with a wonderful, wonderful dog called Buster. In fact, the title of his book is called Let Buster Lead. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
You know, I was so impressed when I read your book, because there's a very special spot in my heart for animals that are used to assist people. Dogs are so very, very intelligent, and Buster was very special for you. Talk about how Buster came into your life initially.
Well, I was a very busy person. I was doing a lot of charity fundraising and political fundraising, and I had had a big career. I'd grown up in the film business. My family was very famous, and so I was in the swirl. I was a very, very busy person. And we had one of our dogs died, and he died about a year after my father died, and I was still in mourning. And I did not want to bring anything else into my heart, but we had another dog who needed a companion. She'd never been alone. So we went to the animal shelter to find a dog for her. And there was this border collie, and he seemed nice enough, and we brought him home, and I wasn't going to get emotionally involved with this dog one bit. I was all closed up. I was still healing my wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And this dog crept into my heart.
Well, border collies are considered one of the most intelligent dogs on the planet. And they are just so, I don't know, I want to say empathetic in my experience with them. They are just so open and just right there. It's like they have you figured out within 30 seconds.
Absolutely. I mean, Buster would know what I was thinking before I did half the time. I mean, we became so close. He literally, Donna, and yeah, I think you can relate to this if you've been a pet owner. In fact, I dedicate my book to pet owners who've had that one pet who was the best pet in the world, the love of their life. Buster became the love of my life. I mean, it got so that he understood me better than anybody I knew. And
that
I preferred to be with him more than anybody I knew.
Mm-hmm. And with good reason, as we'll find out. Let's backstep a little bit, because you mentioned how you came from such a very, very famous environment. Your mother was Joan Fontaine. Her sister is Olivia de Havilland, who's your aunt. Anne Rutherford was your stepmother. I mean, these are names that for many people that would they just go, wow, this is really exceptional. Your dad, William Dawser, was a film and television executive and produced the Batman series. And you are a woman, as you said, you've been involved in so many things. You were part of Kennedy Center's President Advisory Council on the Arts. You were a trustee of a college, you were involved with an orchestra, various museums. But then your life took a real shift. What was that shift? And what happened?
It certainly did, Donna. When I was 50, I bought a horse. I'd always wanted a horse and figured I could finally afford one. I was riding my wonderful horse. I fell off. I broke 5 bones. I had a concussion. Buster and my other two dogs were with me at the time. Buster lay down on top of me and would not let the rescue workers near me until they sent for somebody he knew who could come and tell him that it was okay to let these other people near me. I was in a hospital bed in my kitchen for a month. I was in the middle of all kinds of things at the time. I was building a swimming pool outside, and I was building a house in Long Island, and I had all my other projects going on, and I just hated the idea of sitting still. And Buster would, 60-pound Buster, he was 60 pounds, he would jump up onto this hospital bed, lay down on top of me, never once touching a broken bone. My husband, God love him, he's so sweet. You know, he would come home and hug me and manage to touch all of them every single time. You know, just amazing how intuitive Buster was. And it took me about, oh, up to 6 months to really have all these bones healed. I mean, in the meantime, I rebonded with my horse in different ways. I couldn't physically ride him.
Mm-hmm.
But when the bones finally healed and all the pain went away and the house was built and furnished and decorated and all done and all the stress was off of me, I became absolutely terrified of being touched. I would start screaming when my husband came in the room. I would start screaming when he would approach me. I put pillows in the bed between us. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to go to social events. I didn't want to go to business meetings. I didn't want to go anywhere. I just wanted to stay inside. I was terrified. And here I was, this busy woman. Suddenly I was becoming this frightened recluse, absolutely unable to have any confidence to go out of my house.
Now, when you were going through this, and I've met some individuals through my life that have had traumas occur to them, all different types, and each has reacted differently. And with yours, you had such a struggle with pain that was one of the reasons why even when you were healing, you didn't want to be around people, because inadvertently someone would brush up against you. And it was excruciatingly painful. Do you think maybe the reason that you went into what might be considered a phobic type of a condition, because you had suppressed so much of it throughout all of your period of healing?
Well, that's quite possible, Donna. And in discovering that I really did have a disease with a name, and thanks to Buster, I discovered that I did have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Now, describe that to my audience. When you say that, we usually associate that with veterans and because of war traumas, but it can affect anyone. How do you describe this, and what typically, if anyone who is listening to this show might have someone that might be going through something similar, what can they do?
Well, we all know somebody, Donna, about whom, and our listeners do too, about whom we've said, ever since blank happened to him or her, he or she has not been the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's a trauma. It's a divorce. It's an injury. It's a move. It's getting fired from a job. It's an injury at work. It's anything that is a huge operation, a major illness. These are all traumas that happen to people every single day. And not everyone gets post-traumatic stress disorder. I've been reading about it after I wrote the book, because I didn't want my story to be affected by my knowledge of this disease. 13 million people at any given time, that's 5% of the nation, have diagnosed post-traumatic stress disorder. What I want people to see in the book is that anyone can have it. I mean, anyone like me, my symptoms were very typical. I was irritable. We're talking PMS. On steroids here.
That's pretty
I
bad.
I was afraid of loud noises. I was emotionally withdrawn. I was afraid of being touched. I was hypervigilant. These are the number one symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is why it's hard for people to recognize it. What it feels like inside and what it looks like on the outside is what people can see in my story, what I really hope I can help people see in themselves and others. Because on the inside, you have nightmares. You can't sleep. You have persistent daily thoughts about the traumatic events you had. You're emotionally numb. You have trouble feeling affectionate. Sometimes people gain and lose lots of weight. And depression is there. And some people don't realize that this is a disease that's very easy to treat. And I really hope people will share my experience with me and do what I did, which is seek treatment. But I was lucky I found out what I had, because people aren't looking for it today. I know two doctors who got divorced because one of them had PTSD and they didn't know it. And we don't know to look for it. I'm really delighted to know that the veterans coming back from war today, they are looking for it in them. But
now,
they don't look for it in a child who changes schools.
That is true. So now here, and I, like I said to you earlier, I have a very subestral spot in my heart for therapy dogs. Now Buster had not been trained as a therapy dog, but being a border collie, he was so intelligent and so sharp. How did he adapt to you as you were going through these changes? And how was he so beneficial to you?
Well, before I even fell off my horse, I started taking him with me everywhere. It was kind of a funny story in the book. I mean, he used to go looking for work all the time. Border collies do that.
Yes, they do.
And one day he came home with lipstick on his face, and I was so jealous. I was like, oh, my God, you know. And so I realized that I learned my lesson. He needed to come with me more. So he used to come to my office with me, or we'd go shopping with me when stores would allow him in. They don't always allow pets in, which is to be respected. And so Buster was always used to being with me, but as I got this terrible injury, I don't remember him ever once bumping up against me. I think that he knew I was vulnerable and managed to carefully herd people away from me. I didn't even notice this until I took him to a dog trainer for evaluation. And we realized that Buster walked through doors ahead of me, checked out rooms to make sure they were safe. We realized that he stood behind me at counters in stores. You know, they're all designed so you face the counter and the traffic of the world is behind you.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody like me with PTSD, that was absolutely terrifying. You know, Donna, I thought my biggest challenge was going to be getting back on my horse. I did not know my biggest challenge was going to be getting back into a grocery store. And Buster would stand behind me and act as a physical buffer between me and other people. He would tug on the leash when people would approach him and almost get them talking to him so that I would know that the people were there.
Mm-hmm.
I would keep him close to me, next to me, on a very short leash. If I was walking down a street to a meeting or someplace in an airport, I would keep my other shoulder as close to a wall as possible at all times. I especially needed him in big crowded places where they do not allow pets. Service dogs are allowed, and any kind of assistance dog,
mm-hmm.
as I'm sure you well know, are protected by the ADA. They do have that right. For me, with my illness, I had to get to the point where it was definitely a disability before I felt that I was allowed to have Buster take care of me. Because so many of us think that you have to be blind in order to have an assistance dog, in order to be allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait until I became emotionally paralyzed and started screaming in public when people approached me to allow myself to admit that, yes, I did have a disability, and it was okay for me to have Buster with me in public.
Now, with you, what was it that made you reach out for help? Because Buster was a buffer for a good deal of time. What was it that made you say to yourself, I've got to find someone, I've got to find an answer here, I can't live my life like this? I mean, your poor husband, you were ready to divorce him.
I absolutely was, and like so many people with this disease, Donna, I was about to ruin a wonderful life. I mean, lives are shattered by this disease because of the detachment that the person makes from the rest of their family. It's very hard on families. And I could see it. I could see that my life was falling apart. I could see that my marriage was falling apart. And I knew that I needed as much help as I could to get over this illness because it felt like such a prison to me to think, oh, let's go to that. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. Or, oh, let's go over here. I'm sorry, I can't. To go out in public and to go to a cocktail party, I have to cloak my husband around me. I was at night at social things, I would take my husband rather than Buster just because I was a little embarrassed, frankly, to have a service dog with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would literally cloak my husband around me. And sometimes I couldn't walk across the room to say hello to somebody. And I would see people's hurt feelings. I would see people's crushed feelings. I saw a friend of mine two nights ago who still is crushed after 3 years ago when he approached me at a dinner and I started screaming. I mean, the look on his face was just heartbreaking to me. And I realized I was causing a lot of pain to other people as well as living in my own prison. I was afraid of my own fear.
What did you do? How were you able to get past this, Deborah?
Well, thanks to Buster, when I was reading the different reasons why people have assistance dogs for illnesses that are not obvious, I came across the symptoms of PTSD, and that's how I knew I had a disease that had a name. So I was able to ask, I had a psychotherapist, I had a psychiatrist at that time, because I already do have depression and was taking medication for it. So my psychotherapist, we tried other forms of therapy, you know, group things, and then with my psychiatrist, we tried other kinds of drugs for my medication. I know, and I didn't want to take more of that because I just didn't want to alter my personality, and it's just not necessary. And then there were other treatments like EMDR. I was told about. I did everything that people suggested. Rolfing. Mostly, it was determination, Donna. I knew that my life could be better. I knew it didn't have to stay this way. I knew that I had angels in my life, Buster being angel number one, my husband being angel number two, and all those resources out there in the universe, as well as the angels in my own self that can protect me and move me forward and lead me forward, hence the title, Let Buster Lead, into where I want to go in life, and that is being healthy, happy, and productive.
What steps did you take?
Well, I did all these different forms of therapy, and I write about some of them in the book. I don't want a boring therapy book because it's not. It's a love story about me.
Absolutely.
I just gradually made myself go out. I mean, Buster would go to the door every single, you know, day, and before that he would bat my shoulder, bat my arm and say, come on, you gotta go outside. You know, he'd run to the door. He didn't really talk, but we know what animals
are. Sure, they let you know.
That's right. And he'd turn around and wag his tail and say, come on, you know, let's go. And so I got to the point where I made myself go out. I got to the point in therapy where I could say to myself, okay, so I scream. These people out there are my friends. These people know me well. There's nothing to be ashamed of here. I have an illness. I'm working on it. We never have to be ashamed of being different because we're all different. Everybody's different. And if somebody came in towards me and scared me like they were going to touch me and I started screaming, okay, so what? I'm different. And that letting go was a very big step forward. Also, Buster was 13 and a half years old. And I knew he wasn't going to be with me forever. I knew that this was a gift, and it wasn't going to last forever. And I needed to get well while I still had him. And I did. I got to a point where I was in Walmart or Kmart, one of those, because I went to both of them that week, 3 days before Christmas to just do a simple errand. And I went through the check stand. I did all this. I didn't take Buster with me because he was ill at that point, and I could tell it was painful for him to walk from the car to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I would at least just take him in the car and, you know, let him stay there, you know, because he needed his job to keep him going too. And I walked out of the store, I got back in the car, started my engine, and said to myself, oh my God, I just went through Kmart 3 days before Christmas, and I wasn't at all upset or affected. I don't have adrenaline running through my body. I must be getting well. And 2 days later, I went to another store, and sure enough, I was able to do it. And I knew by then that I was well enough to function on my own.
Now, with Buster, here he is. His time's getting shorter.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit over 2 years. He has been your right arm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He's been that buffer. He's been that loyal, intelligent personality that has insulated you and protected you. How was he responding after you started to get well?
Well, by then he was very ill. I took him with me anyway in the car because he needed a sense of purpose. He needed a job. Border collies have to have a job. And he was so proud of his job taking care of me. I could tell that.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking him in the car, you know, I had a stool to help him get in and out of the car at that point. He spent a lot of time sleeping then, and by then he was diagnosed with cancer. And the only way I could keep him alive forever was to write this story about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down every memory we had of him, starting from that first moment in the animal shelter when I saw those beautiful brown eyes. And he just lay next to me and slept quite a lot. And he would look at me every now and then, and I'd look down at him, and we'd talk to one another in our way that we did. And the reason I wrote this book was so that he could live forever. And here we are talking about him now.
Yes. So
it's working out. He is going to live. Hopefully he'll live in people's memories forever.
Well, he will. And I think when it comes to having an animal, now with Buster, being the intelligent creature he was your therapy dog. And I really liked your comment earlier that when people do have illnesses, you don't have to be blind to ask for a service dog of different type, because there are so many of them that are trained. There are people that have epileptic seizures. The animals can discern when they're coming on, make the person aware so they are in the safe place, so that when the seizure hits them, then they're not affected. Are you aware of any groups or organizations that people might be able to go to?
Absolutely. My website, letbusterlead.com, indicates several different organizations. One of them, workinglikedogs.com, but this can all be led to through letbusterlead.com, as well as the symptoms of PTSD and some etiquette around service dogs, because people don't know how to treat someone with a service dog.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because I'm aware of that, and I think that it's so important that we educate people about it. And usually they have these little backpack. What do I want to say? They have backpacks.
Little jacket, yeah.
Yeah, and they also have the signs on them that will say, I am a service dog. Do not touch me. Do not distract me. And frequently when that's being worn by the animal, they're in training. Tell us about the organizations that you're aware of and what people need to know when it comes to etiquette with these therapy dogs.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that you do not have to get a dog, a therapy or assistance dog. There's a broad category. Let me, you know, because you and I are using very correct terms here. Assistance dog is the overall broad category. Assistant animal, actually. Then there's guide dogs for the blind that we're all familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing dogs, service dogs, and therapy dogs. Service dogs do specific tasks. I have a friend in a wheelchair who has a yellow lab who fetches things for her and goes and gets things for her and does things for her. You know, and she still has problems in public places. Some people say, hey, lady, you can't have your dog in here.
Mm-hmm.
And there she is in a wheelchair. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think that, you know, the etiquette which you asked about, I often had people come up and approach me, and I was terrified of being approached, and so that always unnerved me even. And I think, you know, the dog has work to do. I was equipped by my trainer with things to say, like, please don't pet him. He's working for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or when somebody would approach me and try to, you know, confront me that I couldn't be in a story, it was usually somebody who really didn't know.
Right.
And I would have to, fortunately, I have these pamphlets from the Delta Society, which is also a link on my website, that I would hand them and say, I have a disability and he is my service dog.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they were wonderful. They would say, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry, I didn't realize, I didn't know. I think that to let people know, to, if there's a doubt, to look at the dog and see if it's wearing a jacket or something like that. The jackets are not required, however. But to go and, if I was working in the store, you and I working in the store, somebody comes in with a dog and we don't allow pets in our store, I would ask, ma'am, is this your pet? If somebody does have a disability and that dog is an assistance dog, they know to say,
mm-hmm.
no, it's my assistance dog. And the verbal acknowledgement that that person has a disability and that is their assistance dog is enough. The fine line is disability. The fine line is, do we have a disability or an illness? When we have an illness and we have a dog to help us out, everybody can do that. It's when it the illness becomes a disability and we can't function in life without them, then the ADA law covers us. And it's a very fine line. The law is unfortunately wide open for abuse. And so we really need to protect the law. And I know a lot of women used to come up to me saying, oh, where can I get one of those jackets? Oh, I'd give anything for one of those jackets for my dog. You know, mm-hmm. I'd look at them and say, hey, you need to have a disability first. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't wish one on you.
Right.
And so it's just very important to respect that when somebody needs the assistance of an animal, that they really do need space. They really do need to be treated with some sensitivity. And that's how I felt when I had Buster with me. Most people were wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Most people did give me space, did give us room, were very accepting. Southwest Airlines was fabulous to us. I mean, they would clear the bulkhead seats for us, and we'd sit down, and the flight attendant would come up to Buster, he'd come up to me and give Buster water and crackers, but we passengers weren't allowed to have them until we were airborne. I know. And people really were wonderful, and I just think that our country is in the ADA laws are so fantastic to allow people to get out in life and function and earn. And the reason this was passed by Republicans, you know, it was the purpose was so all these people could go out there and earn money and pay taxes and not be wasting taxpayers' money being supported for staying inside. And it's so important that people can function in their lives, because any one of us at any given time could have a disability. We could join this minority without warning.
Oh, that's true, just like it happened with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with you. Deborah Potter is my guest, and I would encourage you, if finding out about how an animal can make a difference in a person's life, my audience, I know, Deborah, is that's one of animal lovers big time, and I know your book, Let Buster Lead, is one that would really be great as an addition to their library. Now, your website is letbusterlead.com. You
right.
have all kinds of links to different organizations. You have information there for people to be able to go through. And I think your book is more than just a story about yourself and this wonderful, wonderful friend of yours, Buster, that made such a difference in your life. I think it is the awareness that life happens. And what you want to do with life is the best you possibly can. And because of this wonderful dog and its empathy with you, you were able to put yourself on a road to healing that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been as successful. It might have taken you so much longer to accomplish it, and it was under 3 years, and here you were. You were back out in the world and doing what you needed to do with life without fear, and I think that's a fabulous accomplishment.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna. And so many people need to know that it's okay to come out and it's okay to get help. We can't get well by ourselves.
I agree with you. Deborah Potter is the author of this wonderful book, Let Buster Lead. Deborah, I wish you the best. Keep up your good work, and I know you'll never sit still because you're just always on the go, but it has been a delight having you as a guest, and thank you so much for such a wonderful publication.
Thank you, Donna, and take very good care of yourself.
I will do. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. Lots of good things to share. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize customize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. And if you would like to chat with me, all you need to do is call any one of these telephone numbers, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here they are, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And also, we've got for Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And our direct line of 530-876-3222. Well, I'm down here in the Los Angeles area. In fact, this broadcast is being done from the LAX Hilton, where the Conscious Life Expo is coming up. It's going to be happening on Friday, and we're going to be talking with some of the people that are here on Friday, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun and very interesting. But we've got so much going on here that I hope that if you are in the area in California that you'll have a chance to come on down. It's at 5711 Century Park Boulevard, and it is right by the airport, which is absolutely wonderful. But we are going to have speakers galore. We're going to have a wonderful business symposium. There's yoga classes. There's all kinds of things that are going on. So you're going to be able to participate in this and go to ConsciousLifeExpo.com. I know all of you are web savvy, so just go in there and check it out, and you are going to find out all of the information that you need to know right there. So I'm excited about being here. Now, I wanted to share a recipe with you in a little while. So if you will, get that pad of paper and pen, and just know that you're going to be able to have something that is going to be just absolutely wonderfully easy, one, to fix, and two, it's going to be perfect for that very special someone in your life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm looking for things that are quick, that are real, real easy to take care of. And it's so nice when you can have an easy recipe that you can just put together if you've got a real hectic schedule. Well, I know how it goes with me. And I know sometimes easy is good, but you want it to taste good, right? You don't want it to be like everything else. So we'll be sharing something with you in just a little bit. Because we were talking about animals today, and Buster is such a special dog, I wanted to share a fun story. It's a very heartwarming story about this very special lady. Her name is Gwen Ellis. And Gwen had been given news about having ovarian cancer. Now, usually when we're told as women that we have this, it so many times is perceived as a death verdict. It's not something that is easy to detect, number one, until it's advanced quite a bit, and number two, just the fear of the unknown. Well, in today's world, we have a pretty good chance of surviving it. But, you know, Gwen wasn't sure. She said, I just don't know that I'm going to have a future. Now, she had recently gotten divorced. She was very much afraid of being alone, so fear was very much part of her life. Her daughter, whose name is Wendy, said, Mom, you know what? I really think you need something else to focus on. I think you need a pet. Of course, Gwen's response was, my gracious, how am I going to take care of an animal? I've got to take care of me. Am I really going to have enough left over to take care of a pet? Well, Gwen, when she was by herself one evening, began to think about what kind of a pet would she like to have. And she said she knew she wanted to have some company, but it would also help her to be able to focus on something other than herself. So there came a time when she talked to her daughter. She said, you know what I thought about what you said? And I have decided, I think I want a cat. And since I'm in the book business, I would like to have a literary-looking cat. Now, talk about putting in an order for what you want. Gwen was putting in an order and was very specific. She also determined that she was going to name this cat Charles Dickens, and he should have a white bib, he should have little white mittens, and socks. So she knew exactly what he's supposed to look like. Now, when she came home from the hospital after her surgery, her daughter had gone to an animal shelter to try to find her a cat. And she was feeling better after the surgery, and she was getting excited because she could hardly wait for her daughter to come home. But she couldn't believe her eyes when she saw the kitty that Wendy brought. He had the white bib, he had the white mittens and the socks. And she looked at this cat, and she said, "Hello, Charles Dickens." Now, apparently, her friend, Charles Dickens, this beautiful cat, and her daughter, Wendy, didn't know what her order had been for a cat. So she said, we got some information on the history of Charles Dickens. We found that he was a stray and that he had gotten to a porch of a woman's home during a very violent storm. And the woman that lived in that home decided she was going to take him in, but she knew she couldn't keep him. So she took him to the pound the next day, but made a statement to the attendants there at the Humane Society. She said, make sure whoever gets this cat gives me a call. So they made a note of that, and they let her know, Gwen, that she was to call this woman. Well, when she did, she had the most delightful discussion because the woman said that she wanted to keep the cat, but because she was due to have a baby, and she already had three cats of her own, she said, I really meditated on someone coming into his life that would be able to take care of him and who really needed him because he needed to be cared for and he needed to know he had a purpose in life. And so Gwen said it was such a profound conversation for her because she realized that her prayers, as she said, had been answered. And she said the first day Charles Dickens was in her house, he checked everything out. He wanted to make sure he knew what was going on. But then some problems started to occur. He began to sneeze, his nose was running, and his eyes were very dull. Charles Dickens was sick. Well, Wendy, her daughter, came over and said, Mom, you can't take him to the vet, I'll take him. Well, the vet gave Charles Dickens some antibiotics, and Dickens stayed on her bed for days. And she needed to focus on something other than her illness. And guess what she was focusing on? That's right, Charles Dickens. She was concerned every moment, not about her illness, not about herself, but about whether her new friend was going to live or die. Well, after 8 very difficult days, Charles Dickens did the major turnaround. And he got up one morning, looked her straight in the eye, and her words to him were, hello, cat. And she said it was at that time when he turned around that she ended up starting her chemotherapy treatments. And she said, sometimes I was so sick, I just didn't know that I was going to make it. But little Charles Dickens, the little kitty that she had adopted, would just snuggle right up next to her. And she said, finally, when I finished all of the chemo, I just was hoping that everything was in remission. And her surgeon said, we can't find any cancer from the outside. And he said, you know what? We can't find it anywhere. And that was 10 years ago. And her dear friend, Charles Dickens, is still with her. And she said, we two survivors are living life to the fullest. So frequently we do not realize how our animal companions can make such a difference in our lives. And they give so willingly, just like with Buster. Buster is a wonderful friend, and when he passed away, his job was finished, and his mistress was well, and he could move on. And I know sometimes it's really hard when we have pets. We don't want them to go. We really miss them terribly when they are gone. And it seems like there's a big hole that's often left in our lives because they do pass on. Well, let me give you a suggestion. And that suggestion is that you make space for another animal in your life. I know we've done it. We've done it more than once. We've had a number of dear animal friends through the years. And love really does work miracles. And so when you can give that, when you can do what you need to do for someone, and you can have that extra pet around, have that pet in your life, it makes a tremendous amount of difference. This is Donna Sebo, and broadcasting live from the Los Angeles Hilton. I wanted to let you know, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Dr. Petty. He has done a publication, Healing, Meaning, and Purpose. But you know what? We are going to find out about some different healing modalities. We're all going to be also going to be finding out about 10 myths of wellness, about wellness. And I think that this is so important. In today's world, we need to be aware of the fact that we have a lot of choices available to us. And when we're educated consumers, then it is going to be a very good thing for us to be aware of those different modalities, because if we have a doctor that we have a good communication with, they'll need to know about those different opportunities for expressing the self, for doing different things, and it will just make such a difference in our achieving our goals of wellness. Don't ever be afraid to ask questions, and that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, and of course, Friday, then we're going to be on site here talking with various people that are going to be participating in the Conscious Life Expo, and that's going to be quite exciting. Also, I want to say the following week we are going to be talking to Rachel Gunner, Beyond These Walls. This is a powerful insight into life and how to deal with its challenges. Teresa Tapp is going to be with us talking about her process of getting yourself in shape with what she has developed over 30 years. It's called T-Tap. And let me tell you, it works. I've been using it. It works. It's amazing. It's a way of toning yourself up, and you only need 15 minutes a day. It's great. Gina Moliconi is going to be talking with us about the secret of successful feeling. Provocative title, isn't it? We're going to find out more. And excuse me, your soulmate is waiting. We're going to be talking with Marla Martinson. That's our Valentine's Day special. And then Fire Up Your Life, Donna Hartley, a dynamic lady that just has so much to share. Wonderful, wonderful people coming on the show, and I invite you to join us. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break for a moment. We'll be coming back. Don't forget, you can call me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. 0717,
Hi, this is Donna broadcasting live from Los Angeles because of the upcoming Conscious Life Expo. Also, I want to remind you that I'm going to be doing the expo in Seattle at the Hilton at SeaTac, and that's going to be the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. This is the Psychic Spectrum Psychic Expo that is going to be the largest ever done in the Pacific Northwest. We've got all kinds of wonderful speakers, products, services, you name it. It's going to be going on there. For those of you up in the state of Washington, this is an event that is really going to be quite special, and I'm going to be speaking every day. And so my booth number there is going to be 117, and for those of you in Los Angeles, my booth number here at the expo is going to be 517. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? Okay, give me a buzz if you want to chat. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians 888-815-9756 and our direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you've not called in before, it's really simple. All you need to do is give me your first name or initial and let me tell you what I perceive around you. I'm an information resource and I'm glad to share that. So again, 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Chinese Horoscope 2008. This is the Chinese New Year of the Rat. Mm-hmm. That's one thing about the Chinese Horoscope. It's associated with all of these different animals, as so many of you know. Now, this begins on February the 7th, which is tomorrow. And you know what? There's sort of a general feel that this year we're all going to break out of some kind of a rut and start all over with some real good things. Now, don't know what that's going to be, but wow, this being the year of the rat, if you were born in the year of the rat, you're seen as very lucky. You're going to bring a dose of magic that's sure to brighten your year. And of course, if it brightens your year, it's going to brighten everybody's year. Now, who's under the sign of the rat? Here are the dates. 1924, 1936, 1948, 1960, 1972, 1984, 96, and 2008. So let's give you a little bit more information. If you're born under any of those years, you are the sign of the rat, obviously. You're fast on your feet. You've got a vivid imagination, and you love to live on the edge. You're charming, and persuasive. So get ready. This is your year, and you are going to be recognized. Could be in the form of a promotion. Who knows? It could be recognition on so many different levels. And not only are you going to be recognized, but you're also going to be making very good money. And you are going to have a sense of rhythm and magic with your life that this is a great time to start a new enterprise. It is really good for you. Now, let's look at the sign of the ox. We've got 12 of them, so why not work with three of them today? If you're an ox, hey, the year for the ox is 1925, 1937, 1949, 1961, 1973, 1985, and 1997. If you're an ox, you're a hard worker. Natch. And you know what? Apparently, you don't sweat the small stuff. You make a good counselor, you're an excellent mentor, and you know how to make a dollar dance and a penny sing. You can stretch your money and really make it work for you. Now, whether you want to invest in a brand new home or if you want to just change your own living environment, this year, the year of the rat, is going to inspire you to really look at making some changes. You want to give a facelift to whatever is going on in your life. So be aware that your home is where you're going to be focusing a lot of your energy. And go ahead and look at those changes that you want to make because they're going to be significant for you. Now, last of the one quarter, if you're a tiger, hey, what sign is the tiger under? That's something that I think is a favorite symbol for a lot of people, but you have to be born in the year of 1926, 1938, 1950, 1962, 1974, 1986, or 1998. A tiger, hey, you're a leader. That's right. You're born to do something that's going to make a difference, and you like challenges. You like to stand up for what you believe in, and sometimes like to be a trendsetter. You want to be different. You don't mind being a loner, but you really want to be able to have that special effect on people. Well, this year of the rat for you is all about a fresh start, and you're going to be starting to open up your life to something new. Maybe you're going to take a class, or you might decide to explore something that you've never, ever considered, White River rafting. Maybe you're going to travel to Australia, but whatever it is that sense for adventure. It's going to enable you to make those shifts and make those changes that maybe you've been thinking about but didn't think you were ready to do. Well, you're going to do them. And it is going to be really positive for you when you do because your heart's going to be in it. You're going to be excited. And more than that, you're going to get things done. This is Donna Sebo. I know we've got a little bit of time left here. So I'm not going to have time to do that recipe because I'm not going to be able to do it justice. But let's touch a couple of points on working area. I don't know about you, but my office sometimes can look like a hurricane has hit it. With all the paperwork that I have around me, do you have an office that sometimes you just realize that maybe you're not keeping it as tidy as you should? Well, they've done some research, and they have found sometimes that the germ at the office is much, much higher than in bathrooms. Okay, so try to remember to wipe your keyboard, your mouse, your phone, and your desk with disinfectant wipes at least once a day. That can help to keep things at bay and cut the clutter. Ooh, that's such a big one. And you know what? Keep a plant on your desk. Plants are so good for offices. They take away all of those dust things, the mites and everything else that could possibly just overwhelm you and make you uncomfortable in your office. Plants are great, and they love the warmth from all of the machines running. Well, I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, we're going to be talking with Dr. Petty tomorrow. Lots of good things to share. So we'll be chatting with you then. Have a fabulous day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.